So if you have your Bibles, please open them up. We are going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Oh, I'm sorry, chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to pick up at verse 24 as you teach about running to receive the prize. Stand with me if you're able to, please. We're going to start reading 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. It says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." Father in heaven, we ask that you would help us to understand your scriptures. Help us to rightly divide your word of truth. Help us to understand even the cultural context that Paul is writing to the church here at Corinth, Lord. And help us to apply these things in our lives. And Father, please again, be the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. We need your mercy. We need your comfort here. Comfort and encourage our hearts, for we ask. In Jesus' name, minister to us. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You guys can have a seat if you would, please. Now, regarding running, perhaps you've heard 16 years old, this guy, Quincy Wilson, about a week ago, it was announced that 16-year-old Quincy Wilson just became the youngest male track athlete to represent the United States in the Olympics. 16 years old. This guy runs fast. And even at 16, Quincy knows there are rules to every race you run. And even at 16, he knows that he has to endure disciplines in order to finish. If he doesn't, he's not going to be able to finish the race well. And so for you and I, tapping into this illustration, this metaphor of running, as Christians, we have a race that we all run. Amen? What is this race? You might just call it daily Christian living. Life. Life in Christ. We're all running a race. So just like the athlete has to develop new disciplines to win, you and I, as Christian athletes, so to speak, running this race, fighting this good fight of faith, we have to be able to develop new and healthy spiritual habits, don't we? Like what you guys are doing right now. Not forsaking the assembling together of the saints, as is the manner of some. You guys are fellowshipping. That's a healthy, extremely healthy spiritual discipline. Weekly, if not more than weekly, gathering with other Christians to fellowship, to feast on God's word of truth. Spending time daily with the Lord at his feet, in his presence, that you would read his word, that you would speak to him, and more importantly, he would speak to you and nourish you. These are healthy things. These are ways of which you and I need to run our race and to finish well. Amen? Anybody can start a race. But as Christians, it's not a matter of how you start or how long you've been running, but will you finish, and will you finish well? We need to finish well. Paul finished his race well. Amen? Jesus Messiah finished his race well. The apostles in the Bible finished their races well. Pastor Chuck Smith, one of the great examples I saw growing up, he finished his race well. He actually had this tube for oxygen stuck in him at the end of his life. He's in pain with lung cancer. Preaching, and then I think it was a day or two later he passed away. Like, I'm not saying everybody's got to go out like that, but for a lot of us that preach the word of truth from the pulpits on Sundays and throughout the week, we kind of go, I want to go out like that. Our wives might not like that, but that's kind of the example that I saw. You and I need to develop new and healthy spiritual disciplines to run this race and to finish well. Amen? We need to do that. So back to our text at hand here in verse 24, you and I need to know that we have a race. Do you not know? So we need to know. Do you not know that those who, it says, run in a race. This word for race, check this out. Sometimes it helps to actually dig into the original language. It's the Greek word stadion. Those who run in a stadion. What English word do you think that sounds like? Stadium. So you're reading this, you're like, wow, what is he literally saying? Hey, if you're running in a stadium, you're running a race. And when you're in a stadium, think about this too, even as an athlete. You're there even like the Olympics that we might see on TV, you might be watching one person running or a group of people running, and maybe hundreds of millions of people are watching. You know what that is? That's like the Christian race, isn't it? That many people don't want to run that race. Many Christians don't know. It says, do you not know? Many Christians don't know. You're already in a race. Well, I thought I just prayed for Jesus to forgive me of my sins. Yes. Welcome to the race. And it's more like the marathon, not the sprint. Amen? It's something that you have to accomplish over the longevity of time. Okay? It's not just a sprint. So those who run in a stadion or stadium, it's literally a stadium or race course. Those who run in a stadium all run. Notice it says all run. Do you know that all Christians are running this race? They all run. But however, as he says here, do you not know? Many Christians don't know. You and I need to be in the know. Amen? We need to know. You signed up for a race. Okay, and we'll get into this, what this is about. Now, when we're not talking about salvation, we're talking about your sanctification. Okay, so we'll talk about how, and we'll see how Paul mentions about when you're running this race, you have rules that you have to abide by. Now, I can't just run and go, hey, there's someone catching up to me. He's throw out some booby traps. You can't do that. We already covered that. Look at the context. We covered that in chapter 8. Hey, if I'm going to maybe stumble another brother because of the food I eat, I don't want to be disqualified. You see, now he's running into this, going to this metaphor now in chapter 9. I don't want to stumble another person, chapter 8, whether with my food or now in chapter 9, talks about even for finances. I could stumble another person. And hey, now he's put on this illustration, this metaphor. You are a runner in a race, Christian. Who here believes that they're a sinner? You qualify. Who has Jesus Messiah as their Savior, your only Savior who died on the cross for your sins. You repented from your sins. You want to follow him? Okay? Guess what? Welcome to the race. You're in the race. Do you not know? You need to know. You're running in a race, and it says, all run. But one receives the prize. Only one receives the prize. This word for prize, here's the word. What is it speaking of? Metaphorically, this could speak of the heavenly reward for Christian character. Hey, here's what a lot of this comes down to. The test for you and I is this. Before you die, how are you running that race? So we're not talking about losing your salvation. Once you're saved, you're saved with Christ. You're talking about losing your reward. And Satan's like, I can't prevent you from getting saved. You're already saved. But I could try to trip you up and mess you up and keep you so busy on self and the cares and worries of this world that you will stop running that race. Selfishness. And we all have to deal with that. Is that any of you? That's me. Okay? You're running a race. Do you not know? You need to know. You're running in the stadium. All eyes are on you, Christian. And that's a good thing. Just like the Olympics. Wait a second. I can't run fast like Paul. Am I running against Paul? No. Guess who you're running against? You're not running against Jesus. Like, that's not fair. Yeah, that wouldn't be fair. I'm not running against Paul. He had a good start. About 2,000 years. Not John or the other apostles. Guess who you're running against? Everybody point. Okay, good. Who are you running against? Point two. Who you're running against? Your own self. Yourself. You're not running against the other people around you. When you go to work, you're running a race. Others see your life. If you've gone on display telling them in your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, you tell them that you're a Christian, they're going to watch how you run that race. Are you running it well? Are you cheating in that race? You know, if I take a little shortcut through this area here, I know some back streets here. I can go here. I can take a shortcut. We can go hang out. We can go to the bodega. Got a couple hours to spend. And then the rest of the pack for the race, they're going to catch up. They'll be all sweaty and out of breath. I'll be fine. You can't cheat on this. Because the one that has his eyes on you is not just the people, really your Heavenly Father. Those who run the race all run, but one receives the prize. This prize, it's a metaphor of your eternal reward. Now here's what the devil does not want you to know. and your flesh even. The fact that now that you're saved, and now that you know this metaphor, this illustration that you need to take on for yourself, you're running in a race, runner. You're running in a race. The devil does not want you to know that if you run well, you receive a prize. Guess why? He's jealous. He does not get eternity with God. Where's he going to spend eternity? The lake of fire. Okay? He does not get that. You get that. And he doesn't get a reward. He gets punishment. So we're talking about reward. You get a reward. You get a prize. This word for prize is only found in two places in the Bible. This passage here in 1 Corinthians 9. Also, as you see here on the display, Philippians 3 verse 14. It's the only other place that Paul used it. Paul also wrote in Philippians 3:14, I press towards the goal for the prize. He knew there's a prize of the upper call of God in Christ Jesus. So a couple things you need to know of here once we get past chapter 8. Don't make other people stumble, whether with your food. Chapter 9, at the beginning, don't let other people get stumbled by your walk, even because your finances. And now what? Hey, Christian, you're running a race. You see the context? Hopefully, God willing, context helps bring clarity. Amen? You're running a race. You're not doing it just for them. You're also running to receive a prize. You get a prize. Praise God. And the fact that this is a prize, this is an eternal prize. This is how this chapter or this paragraph of this part opens up. So something you need to know, Christian, as you run your race as a Christian, you can receive a prize. Just like you work hard at a job, you can get benefits. But you got to work the job. If you go to the interview and you say, tell me about the benefits. Oh, good 401k, I get life insurance, I get health insurance. Do I have to work? Yeah, that'd be silly. You guys are laughing, right? You wouldn't get the job if that were the case. You have to do the work. Same thing as a runner, as a Christian. You have to do the work. And what do you get as a reward? We're talking eternity. How can you weigh that here where everything on this planet, everything and everyone you know is going to burn up? And you get an eternal body. Praise God for that, right? And spend eternity with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you get an eternal reward. Therefore, what should we do? Look what he says at the end of verse 24. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Run to win the prize. Run to win the prize. So he's summing up as a summation after chapter 8. Hey, I don't want to stumble someone just because of food. I'd rather not eat meat to get someone else saved. Why? I'm running to receive a reward. Oh, that makes sense now. We're not talking about Paul saying to be a vegan or vegetarian. That's not the point. The point is, I don't want to stumble anybody because of my love for Christ and other people, but also I get an eternal reward. And if I'm running a race and I stumble another person, just like in a foot race, if you fall down, say like you're running for, pick a country, say Germany, and there's a whole bunch of you running. You got a couple teammates from Germany. You guys are in front. And he hears all the other countries behind. You're like, I know what I'm going to do for my teammate so that they can go and they can win the whole race for our entire country. I'm going to just lay down in front and everybody stumbles over. Doesn't work that way, does it? In a real race, it does not work that way. And using this illustration, that's also how it is as a Christian. You don't want to stumble another person. You're running your own race, amen? So what do I need to do? Stay in my lane. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Don't stumble another person. Whether for food, that's chapter 8, or finances in chapter 9. Why? I'm going to get an eternal reward. And that's, Christian, that's what Satan does not want you to know. He'd rather you think that God is just like this mean, cruel taskmaster, cracking a whip, telling you, you gotta work. You gotta work. Jesus died for employees. No, he did not die for employees. He died and he wants you to have fellowship with him. And if you run this race and run it well as a Christian, you receive a prize. You receive an eternal reward. So what should we do? Run to win the prize. By the way, where it says run, run in such a way that you may obtain it. Run is written as a command. Christian, you're commanded to run. Well, that's not fair. A lot of people, they're just hanging out. They're just lounging in the Lord. We're on vacation. No, they're commanded. You know what they are? That's called sin. It's called sin. Knowing what you should do and not do it. To him, it's counted as sin. There's a lot of Christians say they're Christians following Christ, but they're actually in sin. Are you serving God? Serve him. Run the race. Don't just lay down and look lazy in the Lord. Run your race. It's commanded. It's not a suggestion. It's not an opinion if you feel like it. You're commanded to run. In other words, you're commanded that as you run this race, you must run in the way that you need to so that you can win the prize. And Christian, I love what the Lord does to make it fair. You're not running against another person. I don't know about you. I got these new shoes. Today's actually my first day trying them. They are running shoes. I haven't been able to run. I told my wife, maybe with these I can start jogging a little bit. They're real poofy. It feels like I'm like an inch or two taller, I think, with these things. So you have to gear up. You got to run. But you need to run in such a way that you can receive the prize. You're not running against anybody else but yourself. Think about your own excuses, just like the would-be disciples in the Gospels had. Jesus tells people, a lot of people, follow me. A lot of people make excuses. They're always typically what? Time and money. I don't have time for you, Jesus. I don't have money. I don't have time because I got to work, work, work. When I'm independently rich and wealthy, then I'll serve you. It's like, too late. Ain't going to happen. And I've known people that have been like that. You know what? I was like that in my beginning years. Never happens. The devil's like, good. And the devil's going to crack the whip. He'll give you a raise at your work. He'll make you independently wealthy. Why? Because now you got more problems. And you're never going to serve Jesus. And you stop. You're not running the race. You're just laying on the ground, serving as a bad example. And then what happens? You die. And everybody's like, wow. Yes, that person's saved. Everybody's going to be happy, so to speak, in eternity. But some people run the race well. And they're going to be able to oversee things. When Jesus comes back to this earth in his second coming, there's going to be a 1,000-year reign, isn't there? Called the millennial reign. You think he's just going to hand over places and things for people to do that were not accountable to him or responsible in this life? No. The book of Luke teaches us, if you're faithful in the little things, right, being faithful in the little things, he may grant more. But if you're not faithful in the little things, they'll be taken away. Christians that we know that are saved, but in eternity, they're going to look at you that are serving God now and go, wow, wow, you really ran your race well. Interesting to see and interesting to think of. By the way, when Paul is writing to the Corinthians, Corinth was known as a place. This is supposedly the city of Corinth. That's not what it looks like now. But Corinth was a city that was home to the Isthmian Games. It was second in importance, supposedly, in the ancient world, only second to the Olympics. So the Isthmian Games, they were held in Corinth. They were held the year before and the year after the Olympic Games. And they were set up in the city. They had stadium, things like that. They were set up for these kind of things. Think of like the entertainment centers that we have today. You know, everybody's at home with like Nintendos and stuff, iPhones. Back then, your entertainment was more public. And so Paul, tapping into what the Corinthians knew, they knew about races. They knew about even the Olympics. They knew about athletic competitions. They knew about running races. And this is what he's tapping into. Let's continue on. Verse 25. Here's something you need to know, Christian. You're in a competition. You're in a competition. Verse 25. And everyone who competes for the prize... Some Christians, verse 24, don't even know that they're in a race. I just thought I'd pray a prayer and I get my fire insurance. That I die and I'm not going to burn in hell, I get heaven. It's much more than that, isn't it? That's just day one. Don't stay as a babe in Christ. Continue on to maturity. You're in a competition. You're not just running as an athlete, as a runner, a competitor. You're in a competition. Verse 25, and everyone who competes for the prize, notice it says, is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. I'm going to bring up this word, competes. Check this one out. I don't know if you can see it on the display. Hopefully you can. The Greek word for competes, if you look at it, I can barely pronounce it, agonizomahi. Agonize, basically. Everyone who agonizes. This is what he's saying. Oh, boy. So the athlete, the Christian, agonizes. If anybody here has ever competed for something in some kind of sports, like baseball or whatever it is, you know the agonies you got to go through, right? Imagine, say you're an Olympic athlete. You're going to be worried about your workout routine or drinking and drugging it up. You'd be more worried about your training, right? You're going to have to go through certain pain, certain agonies. And Paul's tapping into this, just like the Christian. Forget the drugs, the alcohol, the sexual immorality. You're going to have to compete. You're competing. You're in a race. Wake up. Notice that you're in a race. All run, it says. Notice that you're competing, and you're not competing against the other person to see who could do more, serve more, give more, go more. You're competing against your own self. In other words, you need to discover and do God's calling in your life. And if you don't serve God publicly, you ain't ever going to understand that. You'll die, you get eternity, but you're forever until you die, you're thinking, what's my reason why I'm alive? What's my purpose? You're not going to understand that. You have to serve God publicly. And you're in a competition, Christian. Everyone who competes for the prize, everyone who agonizes. So here's some dictionary definitions I circled here up in the red. To enter a contest, contend in the gymnastic games. To contend with adversaries, fight. Metaphorically, to contend, struggle with difficulties and dangers. To endeavor with strenuous zeal, strive to obtain something. You're competing. You're agonizing. And who here is a Christian? Oh, you know the agony that you go through, right? You're probably like, I had to go through agony just to get here this morning, Drew. Maybe. It's a spiritual war that you're in, using it as a metaphor. Another metaphor, you're an athlete. You're a runner in a race. You have to go through agonizing. You're going through training. And there's a good thing to that. You're not weird. This is something that is, as we might say, par for the course as a Christian. Now, if I'm saying this and everybody's like, there's someone out there, whether you're listening online or you're here, and you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's all easy peasy. You're either not saved, or you definitely haven't gotten up, and you're not running that race. Because there's agonizing. And you got to realize, just like the athlete that gets a reward, gets to receive that prize, you get a reward in the end, Christian. You get a reward. You get a prize. Amen. Right? That's great. So this can help us to see and understand a whole bunch of things. A lot of us, we could be competing. I know I'm in a competition. But are you competing over the right things in your life? Now when I go to work, there's this gal in the other cubicle. Man, come back every Monday. She's telling me about all about her weekend. I'm in competition because she says she gets this and that. She bought this over the weekend, had this much fun. I'm in competition because I got to outbest her. No, that's the wrong competition. Some of us know that. You know what that's called? Sin, right? That's sin. So some of us are competing in our friendships, maybe. That's the wrong competition. Some of us are competing in our marriages. You know, the first couple of years when I got married with Susan, there was a lot of struggle for both sides. Every marriage goes through that, amen? Every marriage. And you're not fighting against each other. If so, you're competing against each other. You're competing in the wrong competition. You're competing in your own walk with the Lord. Don't agonize over your friendships. Don't agonize and compete in your relationships. Agonize in your race that you run as a Christian. Amen? Agonize in that. So instead, God wants you to be competing with yourself in your relationship with God. Christian, how are you doing in your relationship with God? Because you're in a stadium, just like the athlete, just like the Olympics you're watching on TV. Others are checking out your choices. And you're in competition. And they're seeing if they want to get saved just by watching you. They're seeing as you go through stuff, how do you handle the stress of life? Are you going to have the peace of God that passes all understanding, that guards your heart and mind through Christ Jesus? Or are you just going to be like them? Ah! Freak out in the flesh. If they do, if they see you like that, then they may just go, you know what? I don't need that Jesus. Man, I think I'm doing better than you. You think you're a Christian. You're telling me I need peace. You ain't got peace. You're in a stadium running, and others are watching you as you run that race. They're seeing if you're going to even finish. And I was one of those outsiders when I would look at Christians. I knew a lot of fake Christians. Anybody know that, what I'm talking about? I saw a lot of fake Christians, and I knew there was something different. I just didn't know what it was. I didn't know what to ask for. But I was sitting there with my friends. We like, oh, my homeboys would be smoking pot, doing all kinds of dumb stuff, calling ourselves Christians. You know, sleeping around, doing bad relationships. Everything's horrible, just like we're living and dying like we're going to go to hell. Nothing different. And as I was like that with some of my Christian friends. I'm like, this is wrong. Can't do this. No one had to tell me that. The Holy Spirit comes to live within you. He starts changing things up, cleaning things up. Amen? He preaches to our hearts way better than anybody else can. And I knew there was something different, but I just didn't see it. I did not find an example. And now I see that that's perhaps one of the things that God allowed me to experience and go through all those frustrations, the agonizing, knowing that we need to provide a good example, God willing, and to lovingly encourage and help others so that you and I can all be a better example to New Yorkers, for the United States, and for the world. Amen? But for Christ. But we're competing. He says here, everyone who competes for the prize, you're competing for the prize. Again, you're not racing against someone else. That's not fair. I don't run too fast. Well, I'm there with you. I got a bad feet and a really bad ankle. I just told someone that sometimes I'll get home from a place where I work. I crawl up to the third story where we live. I have to call a lot of times. Josh or Christina come down, grab my backpack and stuff. And I'm like pulling myself up the stairs. By the time I get home after a full day, I've been out on my feet. I feel crippled. Seriously, sometimes I'm not able to really stand too well. After recuperating a little bit, you call that sleep, then I'm able to get a little better. So I got better shoes now, praise God. Hoping these will work a little better. But I got to realize, this isn't just a metaphor of physically running. We're talking about the spiritual run. You could be someone that's a W amputee with your legs, lying in bed, and you're still running the race, the Christian race. You could be someone in a wheelchair. You could be someone elderly or blind or deaf and blind even. You're still running the Christian race. Amen? And we need to run in such a way that you may receive the prize. And again, everyone who competes for the prize, notice it says, is temperate. Good, you can come at this word for temperate. Notice this. Pulling this from a Bible dictionary here. This word for temperate. It's in a figure drawn from athletes who, preparing themselves for the games, abstain from unwholesome food, wine, and sexual indulgence. I look at that like, well, that's a Christian life, right? You stay away from sexual immorality. Wine, definitely. Not W-H-I-N-E. That's a different sin. Okay. But yeah, don't get drunk. Oh, by the way, there's a place I work at, and you get invited. Like, hey, come on, we're going to have a drink after work. Like, you know how I look at that now? Lord, that's a test. No, thank you. And, sometimes you'll see and you'll hear the snitch. I knew the Christian guy wouldn't go. Good. Maybe I passed the test. Okay? Don't give in to the devil. By the way, here's what it says about this prize. This is from Encyclopedia Britannica. The victor's prize, this is about the Isthmian Games, the place called Corinth where Paul was writing to. The victor's prize, originally a crown of dry, wild celery. Imagine, celery has a certain smell. Imagine that thing, wrapped around your head. Like, here you go, congratulations. Salad. Who put the salad on my head? It was a crown of dry, wild celery. It was changed to a pine wreath. It smells maybe a little better. Some people are like, I'm allergic to pine. It was changed to a pine wreath in Roman times, the pine being sacred to Poseidon. That's supposedly the god that they're racing for. Celebration of the festival died out when Christianity became dominant in the 4th century A.D. So these athletes, they went through great agony for months and months before the race. They would have to sequester themselves away, train. Some would say they put it on record, even they've been training. Stay away from sexual morality. Stay away from even alcohol. Try to eat properly. Do a lot of trading just so they would win. What would they bring home to mom and the family? What'd you get, honey? I got this pine crown. So they'd have training. They'd have strict diets. Stay away from alcohol just for a chance to win a pine needle crown. Pine needle crown, what? Imagine, think of it today. Today we bring home like trophies, those kind of things. Imagine though, what happened today at the games, honey? Well, look, I won. Your wife's like, oh, that's so sweet. I'm going to put her over here by my other trophies. Don't get it too close to the fire. Yeah, but I want it up here where everybody can see. A week goes by. 2 weeks go by. What's going to happen with that pine needle crown? Goes from green to brown. Dust. Yeah, starts falling apart. After like 6 months, you know, some of us guys are like, but honey, that thing's falling apart. That thing's like a rat's nest now. Throw that thing out. Get that thing out of the house. That thing starts stinking. Can't believe you want to keep that around. This is the illustration that Paul's tapping into. That as athletes, back then, they would train, and guess what they got? Pine needle crown. That's what they receive? Hey, but you get an eternal crown. You get something that lasts for eternity as a reward. How do you compare that? There is no comparison. Because what you get, even if it's a small thing, tiniest iota, tiniest, smallest bit for eternity, is better than everything on planet Earth combined. Think about that. Now, you and I as Christians, we go, wow, there's not just hope. A lot of joy, too, to know that, wow, if I serve you now, Lord, and if I'm faithful to run this race, competing within the rules, as prescribed within your word, I get an eternal reward. That is so awesome. That's so cool. Thank you, Lord. So God's teaching you and I that you can run to receive a prize, that you and I get an imperishable crown. Notice it says here, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, a pine needle crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, according to God's words, when you and I serve God and do God's will in this life, you can receive a prize for eternity. Think about that, Christian. These are some of the things that really nudge me on to move forward. But God, I'm not getting anything out of this. And I imagine Christ dying on the cross, people spitting on him, cursing at him. And let's face it, all of us did, right? Before receiving and repenting. We all did. And yet he still died. Ultimate example of ministry, ultimate example of love. He still died for you. While we're still in our sins, Christ died for you. And it took time to get you to not receive the love, but also to want to reciprocate love, right? That's true giving. Whether you serve him with your time, your talent, your treasure, or all of the above. It takes time. That's one way you can tell if a Christian's maturing. Are you able to not just take? This whole world's full of take. Being a Christian is being a giver. I'm not talking about just money. Because most of us, we have excuses. I can't serve you, God. I can't follow you, Jesus, because of time and money. You take those away, or you start just giving back to God, you're not thinking about your time. You're not thinking about the money. You're thinking about being with Messiah. That's where our hearts need to be, amen? So according to God's words, when you and I serve God and do God's will in this life, you and I can receive, you may. I need to couch it and phrase it as that. Why? Because if you never serve God publicly, you don't get a reward. You're going to die. Yes, you get heaven. Yes, you get to be eternally with Jesus, but you lost your reward. Just like if you don't work at your job, you don't get benefits. You don't get paid, right? I want to get paid. I want the benefits, but I don't want to work. You know what that's called? Unemployed. Okay, that's what it's called. All right, so think about even the parable of the talents. Remember there was a guy that just took it. Oh, hit it. I didn't hide my talent. I don't want to use it. So what has God given you? What has he given you of spiritual giftedness? Like what's your calling? What has he gifted you with? Whatever those things are, utilize it. Put it to usage. Jesus said, do business till I come. Occupy till I come. Keep yourself occupied with the things of the Lord until Jesus comes back. Or else when you study things like the parable of the talents and other places, we could waste away our entire lives. And that's exactly, guess what you're doing? Not Jesus' will, you're doing Satan's will. And as Christians, I need to preach that. Christians need to preach that, amen? Because Satan's got a lot of people that call themselves Christians scammed. And they don't even know it. They're in church, oh, yes, you know, it's all motion, lift their hands. And yet you waste away your entire life and then you die. Yes, you're saved from hell. Yes, you get heaven. But you get no eternal reward. And then when Jesus sets up his earthly kingdom, his millennial kingdom, read the book of Revelation, the ending chapters, he sets up a millennial reign, ruling and reigning. We're going to rule and reign with him, the king, in his kingdom for 1,000 years on this planet. You know, I tell my wife things like, you know, I want to maybe go to Hawaii when we rule and reign, or Southern California, or maybe I'll, if I've been bad, maybe he'll throw me in the desert. I don't know. Wherever it is, we'll all be happy. But you get an eternal reward. And if you serve him faithfully now in the little things, he may grant more then. Do know that you're not competing against other people, though. Let's continue on verse 26. Therefore, I run thus. So this is how I run. Not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. So Paul's referring to running here again. And then he has a short phrase about boxing. But the main thing he's speaking of here is being a runner in a race, running in a stadium. So all eyes are on you. This word for uncertainty, it's a compound word. It literally can mean not clear. So imagine you're watching a race. Maybe it's a marathon, a 5K or the New York City marathon. A whole bunch of people, hundreds of people are lining up. They're there. You hear the shot. And they all take off. And instead of them all running the same way with one goal, one purpose in mind, knowing where the finish line is, they're just running all over the place. Some are jumping in a boat. It's like, where are we going? I don't know. Let's just expend some energy. Some are running down the street. Some are going hanging out at the bodega on their phone. Yo, what's up, bro? You know, they're not running with purpose. So what is he saying here? Therefore, I run thus. This is how I therefore run. Because I get a prize. Therefore, I need to run with certainty. In other words, don't run without a clear goal. So some of us, we're just busy for the sake of being busy. Or I might call it for myself, being like a Martha. Anybody here know what I mean? Busy for the sake of being busy. Because I'm too uncomfortable just sitting down in silence, hearing from the Lord, spending time with him, or not doing nothing. Not having uncertainty. The metaphor of running, Paul's saying, don't run without a clear goal. What's your goal as a runner? Finishing the race and finishing it well and running as if there's only one that receives the prize. You're not running against another person, but having that thought, that motivation in mind, I want to run to win. You think when people are sent to the Olympics, you think they're being trained up by their coaches going, you know, it'd be really good if you brought home the bronze. No, they're being coached up and pushed and coached. You're going to get the gold. You got to win. No, I just want to finish, and I'm going to walk. No, it's a run. You need to run, and you need to run well. And they're being coached and trained, go through all these agonizing things for years and years and years. Even this guy Quincy at 16, he's going to go to the Olympics to represent the United States. That's awesome. 16. Like, man, wish I could run like a 16-year-old again. So run with a goal. You need to finish your race. Finish your race well. What does that mean? Start serving God publicly if you're not. Discover and do God's will for your life. And as you run that race, just keep moving forward. As you do, you cross the finish line when you die, or when Jesus takes you home, amen? And you're going to get an eternal reward. You're going to get judged not on judgment day. That's judgment over spending, you know, eternity in the lake of fire. That's a great white throne judgment. You can read about that in the ending chapters of Revelation. That's not your judgment for a Christian. For born-again Christians, your judgment is called the Bema Seat Judgment. Just like the Olympics, kind of, you're judged over what kind of reward do you get. It's the same thing that Paul's tapping into here. So if you were running back then in the Isthmian Games in Corinth as an athlete, you had a clear goal. You're running in a certain direction. You're running a foot race, and you're running to win, or else you wouldn't even be in it. You're already in it. He says, don't you know, verse 24, those who run in a race all run. Don't you know you're already a runner in the race? I hope you can see this context. And the context here at the end of chapter 8 and chapter 9, I don't want to stumble a person in this race because of my food or because of finances. Why? Because I get something way better than here. I get this for eternity. It's an eternal prize. And it's not like this pine needle crown that's going to be disintegrated over time. It's going to start, you know, stinking and looking bad in maybe a week or two. This is an eternal crown that I get. Let's continue on. We're going to have to close here in just a bit. Verse 27 says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become, and he says, disqualified. First of all, this word for discipline. Interesting picture. Like this, if you would. Put your finger right underneath your eye. What he's saying for this word for discipline is literally mean, don't do this, but it means to hit under the eye. It's like he's saying, I give myself a black eye. That's kind of a strange thing, right? But I give myself a black eye. That's literally what the phrasing he's saying, but about his body. I discipline my body. I discipline my body. And do what? Bring it into subjection. Hey, your flesh wants to be on top. Ever since Adam and Eve gave in, the spirit was no longer on top. It was the flesh. The flesh-filled life, the selfish life. It's all about me, myself, and I. We all have those things to deal with, right? Selfish goals, selfish dreams, everything about self. And Jesus is like, no, I want to be Lord, and I'm not. Why? Because your flesh is on top. So if you're living and you're falling to and following only emotional decisions, that's called the flesh. Jesus is not your Lord then. You are. You are your own God. And the God of the Bible is not. And that's another thing that your flesh wants you to be tricked with. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The devil wants you to believe that, right? It's like, no, you're doing okay. That's also called hedonism, when you're living just for selfish pleasure, right? More pleasure, less pain. That's hedonism. And a lot of Christians think that's God's will. That's not. That didn't feel too good when Jesus was dying on the cross for your sins and mine, right? But a lot of us, we forget that about Christ. We forget that about Paul and the apostles. These guys were all, they're all martyred. John the Baptist was beheaded. Paul, supposedly, is beheaded. Isaiah, sawn in two. And some say it was like this way. Like, imagine that. John's the only apostle. They couldn't kill him. They tried to supposedly boil him with oil, and that didn't work. So what'd they do? They banished him to the island of Patmos. And that's where he's like, hey, this is great. I have a lot of time to fellowship with Jesus now. And what happened? God gave him the vision for revelation. Sometimes the devil's tactics don't work like that, right? Actually, they don't work. They're utilizing God's hands for his glory. So here's what he says. I discipline my body. You need to bring your flesh into subjection. If your flesh is leading you in life, then you're not running the race well. Do you understand the context? If it's like, well, I don't feel like walking with Jesus. I don't feel like serving God. I don't feel like, guess what? Your feelings are leading you. You're not spirit-led by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's like, I don't care about that. You need to crucify yourself, crucify your flesh. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, Luke 9, verse 23, you want to come after me, you want to be a follower, anybody want to be a disciple of Jesus? Here's what he says. Deny yourself, and your flesh is like, no, I want to embrace self. Your best life now. No, that's an abomination. That's what your flesh wants. That's what Satan wants. Deny self. Take up your cross daily. Your cross is something you do for someone else. You can also call that serving. Jesus did not have to die on the cross for his own sins, right? He did it for you. He did it for other people. You can also call that serving him. I serve Jesus by serving you. If I wasn't serving, would I even be here right this second doing this? No. What's my reward? I'm looking for eternity. Think about this, what Paul was thinking of, and what you and I need to, as we might say, have your eyes on the prize. So in order for you to run and finish your race, when it comes to your flesh, you have to bring it into subjection. Some of you are like, oh, no. It's like a nice pet dog or cat, if you're a cat. Like, oh, let me coddle my flesh. No, my flesh just loves this sin. No, I can't stop this. It's just so lovely. No, stop paying so much attention to those things of the flesh and pay more attention to the things of God's Spirit. Amen? You might need to do that, even on the practical side. When God was training me of the flesh versus spirit internal battle, when I get like those evil fleshly temptations, which come all the time, they come daily, I'm going to use that to my advantage as an opportunity to even pray. Lord, I pray, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of your spirit. Oh, Lord, I need the opposite of flesh, your spirit. God, pour out your spirit. I want more of your love. I want more of your joy, more of your peace, more of your patience, more of your kindness, your goodness, your faithfulness, your gentleness, your self-control. And now I'm thinking of and praying towards the opposite of my flesh. Your flesh hates that. But God's Spirit's like, yeah, right on. You might need to develop just some practical go-to type of things that will help you like that. You can study of who the Holy Spirit is. He's your helper. He's a comforter. He's the one that when he comes into your life, he's going to convict you of what? Sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's going to come, be empowered by the Spirit to help you crucify your flesh, not to coddle the flesh. Think about that. Empowered by the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that empowers, lives within you and I as born-again, Spirit-filled Christians, the same Holy Spirit empowered Jesus while living in the strength of a human body to die on the cross. It's the same path you and I have, right? If you want to follow Jesus, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, Luke 9:23 says, and follow me. So if you want to be a follower of Jesus, guess what's in the way? Every point to what's in the way of you being a disciple of Jesus. Okay, married couples, don't point to each other. Don't point to someone else. Come on, everybody point. Who's getting in the way of you being a follower of Jesus? This is what's getting in the way many times of us running our race, finishing well, and at the end of your life receiving this eternal reward. It could be just yourself. And those that don't want to admit it, guess what I know? Guess what we know? Your sin is pride, and you, either you're not saved or definitely not living a sanctified life. You need to repent from your sins. So don't be disqualified from receiving your prize if you don't bring your flesh under subjection. Your flesh, if it's not under, then your spirit is under. And the Holy Spirit's not leading you. You're not obeying God. You're obeying your flesh. It says here, disqualified. I'm going to bring this up as we close here. He says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become, he says, disqualified. Look at this word. Not standing the test, not approved. Do you know that, again, Christian, you're a runner, you're running a race, like in a stadium, all eyes are on you. Do you know the bigger picture is right now you're in God's test? Who knows that right now God is testing you? And pray for those that don't know, because you're still in the test. You need to open your eyes. He says in verse 24, do you not know? Be in the know. Don't become disqualified just because you're not running that race. You're not passing the test. All right, so just to make sure that we're clear, we're not talking about losing a salvation. You're saved through Jesus Christ. In him alone. Saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? It's not your works. We're not talking about losing your salvation. We're talking about losing a reward. And it's eternal. The Satan can't do anything about the fact of you being saved. But he can try to mess with you so much that you don't serve God so that you lose your reward. I would just venture to guess maybe he's just jealous. Maybe he's angry. All the above. But if you're not careful about how you run the race of Christianity, you will lose your prize by giving in to things like the lust of the flesh. You're going to lose your reward. You'll become disqualified. Okay. If so, if that's where you're at, pray, confess your sins to God, repent, turn away from them. We looked at it in 1 John 1, verse 7. If I walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us. Okay? So understand the context here again as we close. By seeing chapters 8 and chapter 9, Paul is basically saying, I don't want to stumble another brother because of my food or because of finances. I'm running a race. I want to be sensitive to that. I want to be careful to not stumble anyone by abusing my right to be financially supported by the church. He covered that already in chapter 9. And it's not just that I'd be displeasing God. I don't want to fail God's test and lose my eternal reward. This is what Paul's saying here. So as we get to this chapter, praise God, we close this chapter. We finish the chapter. But you guys got to finish your race. Amen? So we're going to close here. Can we all stand, please? I'm going to close us with a word of prayer here, and then we can partake of communion. You can stop the live stream right before we go to communion time. This needs to be our focus, though, guys. We need to run to receive the prize. Amen? So, Father in heaven, we ask for the empowerment of your Spirit, God. Do you please empower each of us here? Help us, God. I believe some of us that are maybe here or that are listening later to this message, they didn't even know they're running a race. They're just maybe being lazy in the Lord. Whatever it is, help them to confess those sins, to turn away and to repent and to come back to you, God. Help them to serve you publicly. Help them to know that they're running just like a runner in a race in a stadium. All eyes are on them, including you. You're testing each and every one of us as your children. And you want to see, not if we know the word, but if we apply your word. We need to be doers of your word, God. Help us to do that. Help us to discover your will, your calling for each and every one of our lives. And help us to walk in that, God. But we need your grace. We need your empowerment. So please empower each and every one of us, God, so we could run this race, so we could finish it well for your glory and yours alone. For we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.